That's what we want to talk about a few minutes here tonight, is living your life to glorify God. Living out your life and the days of your life to bring glory to God. This one verse of Scripture is the verse that has had me thinking along these lines, Proverbs 19 and verse 21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The word and the phrase there, really, we're talking about the devices. It's talking about plans. That man has many plans that they make. All of us. Many plans that we make. But what's really important is that God's purpose is performed. That God's will is done. Man has their own plan as to what they want to accomplish. Many plans are in the mind of men, but it's God's will. It's the purpose of God. It's the glory of God. Living your life to glorify God, that is what is going to stand for time and eternity. Amen. And it's so important that we give some thought to this. And I mentioned in the Wednesday night service that radio program, Unshackled, that starts off with that introduction about, you know, true life stories and all of this. And then what a little phrase that you might not have noticed that much is the one we mentioned Wednesday night, and that is stories that make you, what was it? Face yourself and think. And I've listened to that introduction a lot of times and thought, well, that's interesting. Face yourself and think. But everybody, all of us need to have to live a life that's under examination. Amen. An examined life, an unexamined life is not worth living. And I don't know where that quote came from, but I've heard it a lot of times. An unexamined life is not worth living. And we need to live our life to bring glory to God. I am thoroughly convinced if all of the church, everybody who belongs to the church, I'm talking about us. I don't mean church worldwide. I'm talking about our group right here. I am thoroughly convinced that if everyone that is a part of our church here, that you would begin to really seriously consider, how can I live my life so as that glorifying God becomes the number one thing in my life? It's the number one thing that I'm concerned about. And you know, you laying aside your own plans. Most of mankind's plans are kind of self-centered, and they have to do with our own desires and what we want to do. But if instead we would give full attention to what God is wanting to do with us, and we really lived out our life to glorify God. Now, a very huge subject in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, is the subject of the glory of God. And it's really much too big of a subject for us to even talk about. And the main reason is because it's too big for me to understand. It's too big for you to comprehend. Because that's really what the glory of the Lord is describing. It's talking about the greatness of God, the brightness of God, the power of God, all the things that we could never exhaust. All of these wonderful things that describe who He is. And the glory of God. The greatness and the might and the power and the brightness of the Lord. Amen. We are to live our lives. And, you know, I don't mean that you're living your life for the Lord. It's not going to change God, because He is who He is. The glory of God is not going to change, but it's going to have an effect upon you. If you begin to live your life to glorify God, His glory begins to have an effect upon you. You're changed. You're blessed. And you come to know Him in ways that you could have never have known Him. But what we often do, instead of saying, okay, God, I'm going to give you myself. I'm going to give you my very best. Are you doing that? Most of us would have to be honest that we rarely are we giving God our best. But when you compare what we are doing and how we are living and even our worship and our activities, you compare that to the greatness and the might, the glory of God, we are falling very short of all that God is. And so what we choose to do is we say, well, I may not be doing my offering my best to God, but I'm doing good. I'm doing pretty good. And we tend to, you know, congratulate ourselves and say, I'm a good person and I'm doing good things. I'm a good person. And we make that kind of a judgment. And what really happens when you do that is you are making the good the enemy of the better and the enemy of the best, because you're not striving to be more. You're not striving to be more like Him and to glorify God with your life. Amen. If you're not doing that, then you need to ask yourself some questions about what it is that consumes your life. What is it that's consuming your life? What do you think about a lot? What is it that consumes your thoughts? What is it that consumes your time? What is it that consumes your money? What consumes your energy, your thoughts, your planning? What is it that's in your mind? Well, if it's not giving God glory and using your life to bring God glory, then you need to step back and you need to reexamine and say, Lord, I'm falling short of really what your plan is for my life. Amen. Isaiah 43:7, it says, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Amen. So if you want to know what am I here for and what is my calling and what is my purpose in life, when you come to the Lord and you're saved, then from that moment forward, you need to be reminded of the fact that you have been called of God and you're to be living out the days of your life to bring God glory. Amen. To glorify the name of the Lord. And you can only do that if you are focusing on God's plan instead of the many devices of your own thinking. Amen. We all make plans, but if our plans are being made without our full attention on the purpose and the plan of God, then we're likely going to get out of step. We're going to likely move in a particular direction that won't be the plan of God. And just because you're a Christian, that doesn't mean that every plan that your mind can contrive, that's the will of God for your life. You need to seek to unite to your will and to bring your will into subjection to the will and the plan of God. The verse that I read says that man has all kinds of devices. He has all kinds of plans in his mind, but it's only the purpose of God that stands. It's only the purpose of God that prevails. So you're going to miss out on all that God has for you if you're not looking and asking the Lord, Lord, I want my life to bring you glory. It's interesting how many places, and I won't go to all of them, but all throughout the Christmas story, the glory of the Lord is a big subject. And God's presence. And it really, in each of these cases, it was whenever the glory of the Lord was revealed, for instance, in Acts chapter or Luke chapter 2, to the shepherds in the field taking care of their sheep, that suddenly there's an angel of the Lord and the glory of the Lord. Now, it's talking about that God is revealing Himself in this wonderful way to these shepherds, His glory. They're seeing this, the brightness of His appearing and the message that's being brought. It is all depicting God's purpose and God's plan, and God is revealing that to those shepherds out there on the hillside taking care of their sheep. It says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying glory to God in the highest, or in the highest possible manner. That the heavens are full of the angels, the sky is bright with the lightness, the light of the glory of God, and it is all a revelation of God and what is getting ready to happen, this glorious appearing of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, these shepherds are receiving this great announcement, the glory of the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So what was their response? It came to pass that the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. There was such a transformation in the shepherds. Shepherds were considered very low in the caste of as far as their position in life. They were so low, so dishonored, disrespected. Their words were not valuable. The shepherd could not even be considered to be a witness in any kind of court or anything. They were so low in their position in life. But now, because of the glory of the Lord, that Mary and Joseph were so amazed by what was going on here, because they went out and they began to declare the name of the Lord and preach this message everywhere that they went. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Amen. So all of the account here was God's glory, His power, His presence was being revealed to those lowly shepherds so that they could even qualify to be a witness of the coming Savior. Amen. You know, even the shepherds, there was a plan in the mind of God for them. And God wanted to use them. Glory, the word, the New Testament word, it means honor or dignity. It describes the greatness of God that is immeasurable. Amen. It's more than you can understand or comprehend. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. When you look at all of creation and the greatness of the universe, and it's beyond comprehension, but it all reveals the glory of God. It reveals His greatness, His power, His might, His creative ability is all revealed. Amen. The heavens declare the glory of God. Psalm 19 says, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. So wherever you are, if you're in some foreign country, in some tribal area, in some remote area of the world, you still hear very clearly the speech that is uttered day in and day out. The speech and the glory of God is revealed even to those that are in some hidden faraway place. That voice is heard. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Amen. The heavens declare the glory of God. And so even the heathen and the natives in some far off place, they can look at the heavens and all of creation, and they can see and experience the glory of God. It's all around us, isn't it? It's everywhere you look, the glory of God. The scriptures reveal the glory of God in a lot of different places. In the Garden of Eden, when God literally walked and talked with Adam and Eve, and they fellowshipped and communed with them. Oh, the glory of God was revealed to them in the garden. Same thing was true for other people in the scripture. Moses, for example, there when he saw the bush burning that was not being consumed and the voice of the Lord speaking out of that, he takes his shoes off because he knows he's on holy ground and he's experiencing the glory of God, the greatness of God's mighty power. Amen. All through the scripture, when the tabernacle is being led and the children of Israel being led through the wilderness, there was a cloud by day, there was a fire by night that was leading them and directing them, and they experienced the glory of God. And I, you know, there's just so many, many places in the scripture that reveals the supernatural mighty power of God. Sometimes through thunder and smoke and brilliant light. I believe that Paul, on the road to Damascus, there was this light that shone from heaven. Again, it was a revelation of God to him about his purpose in life. What he was to be doing, the glory of the Lord, the brightness of that midday sun that shone, and the voice of the Lord that spoke to him, telling him, this is what I want you to do, Paul. This is where I want you to go. This is the task that I have for you to accomplish. We all can make plans. Many are the devices, many are the plans that we have, but it's only the purpose of God and the glory of God that will stand. So why not live your life to please God? Why not live your life to do what He has called you to do? Even now, heaven is going to be a place of just unimaginable glory of God. Amen. As a matter of fact, Revelation 21 and 23, it says, the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. So heaven is just going to be without restraint. It is going to be an unparalleled revelation of the glory and the brightness of God. Oh my, what a wonderful thing it is that God has such a plan for His people. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing that we have been created for God's glory, to be used of God, and we have been formed and shaped to be used of the Lord, and your whole purpose and reason is to glorify God with your life. Are you doing that? Are you doing that? Is God getting very much of your time? Is God getting very much of your time? Are you giving much attention to the things of God? We've repeated this. Sister Bright asked me this morning to repeat what we said in the funeral service Friday, that the children had shared with me that Sister Martin, since 1969, had read the Bible through 47 times. Now, to me, that's pretty incredible. It's pretty amazing. Let me tell you, if you're living your life for God and you want to live your life to glorify God, then you're going to have your attention and your focus upon godly things, God's Word, the things of the Lord, the house of God. Now, I'm a big believer in worship and coming to the house of God and being faithful to the house of the Lord. But I do know this much, that you can even go through the formality of worship and not really worship, because you're not really giving your full attention to the glory of God and to the greatness of His might and His power. Amen. So really, more than just public worship, although I believe in it, I think it's absolutely essential and it's biblical that we are faithful to the house of the Lord. I think we all know that really what God really wants of us is He wants to live our life out every day, every minute, every hour for the glory of God. On Monday and Tuesday and every other days than the days of worship, that God wants our life to be a lived out for His glory. Amen. Now let's face it. There's a lot of things that we could all choose to do when it comes church time, other than come to church. Amen. Some folks choose to, you know, put their pajamas on and curl up into the book or whatever they do and not come to church, because it's just, it's the path of least resistance. It's the easiest thing to do. Just get comfortable. And I don't want to go out in the cold. I want to go out in the rain. I don't want to do that. I just kind of want to be at home. But if your attention, if your focus with your life is, I want to glorify God, then you're going to resist that fleshly temptation. Amen. Amen. When you don't feel like it, when you'd rather not. And you're going to do it because your life is to be lived out for the glory of God. Men have their plans, but God's plan is better. God's plan is the way of strength and stability and success and fruitfulness in your life. Do it God's way. Amen. And not allow other things to just control the decisions that you make. I think it's a very, very big mistake that we make when we live our lives for ourselves. Selfish pursuits. Your plans that leave God out, they put you on shaky ground. It puts you in a place, if it's all about you and all what you want, and all that pleases you and how that you can be satisfied, and it's all about what I want, and that whole spirit of selfishness and self-consumed and what I think is important, and it's not about you. It's about Him. It's about Him being glorified. Amen. So just toughen up a little bit. Amen. Let's come to church and let's worship God and let's get involved in the work of God and let's believe God, because we've been given life and breath and we have been given potential. Let's use it for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Now, if you're going to live your life for the glory of God, it's going to require some changes for all of us. It's going to require change. When you get saved, it's going to it's going to lead you down a new road. Your schedule is going to change. Your priorities are going to change. Your friends are going to change. Everything is going to be centered on God, on the Word of God, on worship, on the plan of God, on the work of God. That has to be the center of your life. If you're going to live your life for the glory of God, I'm not talking about living your life for the glory of the church. I'm talking about living your life to glorify God. Amen. It, of course, will include the local church, but it will include every other facet of your life. It's all about Him. It's all about His purpose. It's all about His plan for you. Live your life for God's glory. And if you'll do everything you do, not just when you raise your hands or clap your hands or sing a song, but live out the days of your life with the realization that everything you do can be an act of worship. If it's for His glory. Amen. You can do all for the glory of God. You can do all things for God's glory. When you go to your job every day, you may think, well, this is a secular job and I spend 8 hours or more at this job. How could God ever get glory out of my daily responsibility of labor? Oh, He can. He can, because He's put you where you are. It's His plan. He's put you where you are and you're needed there. And you're to be a light there and a testimony there. And they all need to know that you're a servant and a child of God. And that's the priority of your life. To please God in all that you do. Praise the Lord. Amen. I am thankful for the family of God, for the people of God. And I draw strength from you, and I hopefully we draw strength from one another, and we do what the Bible says. We edify one another. We build ourselves up in the things of the Spirit of God, and that's the way that it should be. We care about each other. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we love one another. We're concerned about one another, and so we're willing to make an investment in the body of Christ. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. We need to follow, and we'll glorify God whenever we love the house of God and love the people of God as well. Amen. Amen. We glorify God in our worship. We glorify God whenever we allow Him to shape us and to make us Christ-like. His name is being glorified whenever we are allowing God to work in us and on us and to change us. And to becoming, in the process of becoming more like Him and being changed from glory to glory. That's what it says here in 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We are changed. Our lives are changed. And we become more like the Lord. I think it's a terrible testimony to the world whenever Christians profess to know the Lord and to serve God, and they walk away from the church and leave the church building, and there's nothing about their life, their lifestyle, anything about what they're doing that ever demonstrates Jesus Christ. Amen. The world, it ought to be very obvious by your lifestyle and by your testimony that you are Christ-like and that you have identified with Him and identified with His Word. Amen. And in so doing, then you have a witness. You're changed from glory to glory by your desiring to be more like Jesus. Amen. And then since we're made to glorify God and that's His plan, then you need to make yourself available to God. Amen. Be useful to God. Every one of us, as I read you the verse from Isaiah 43, that he said, I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. That's why you were born. That's why you were brought into this world. You had nothing to do with it. It wasn't your choice. You came into this world, and God allowed you, gave you the gift of life. And as a Christian, we understand that we have a life that needs to be lived out for the glory of God. Amen. You have to make yourself available to the Lord. God is not going to jump in and interrupt you and try to, force you or press you. He may work in different ways in your life, but primarily God wants you to open yourself up to Him, make yourself available to Him. He's created you for that purpose, and you're to use it for the glory of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified. Amen. Amen. If you're going to be used of God, then make yourself available to God and allow Him to empower you and anoint you and use you for whatever purpose that He has for your life. Amen. Amen. Now we can't conceive or even comprehend all the ways that God is working in our lives, but we know that we can trust God. Amen. If we yield ourselves to Him, you can trust your life into His hands. Amen. He's going to do the right thing. He's going to lead you down the right pathway. And all of your devices and all your plans, just put those aside and ask the Lord, Lord, I want my plan to be your plan. And I want to just be in cooperation with what you're wanting to do with my life. And when you do, many times you have to set aside things that were a part of your life before you committed yourself to God's purpose and plan for your life. You have to set aside a lot of things. It's not always easy. I can remember setting aside friends that I had because the Lord was calling me to Bible school. I can remember some of my possessions that I dearly, dearly loved them. I had to get rid of them because I couldn't afford to go to Bible school if it wasn't for selling off some of these items. I can remember, going through the agony. You may not think it's all that big of a deal, but to a young person, 18 years old, a lot of these things were important, especially when I saw all my buddies. They were all driving these new cars, and they had these big jobs and making money, and they had nice things, and I was driving a pitiful little car that could barely get me around town because I knew I couldn't afford. Actually, my first year in Bible school, I didn't have a car. I walked everywhere I went. In my second year of Bible school, I bought a little VW Bug that I gave $400 for and drove it and drove it and drove it. It turned out to be a great blessing to me for all of that school year and part of another school year where there are a lot of things that were important to me. But whenever, I got to a place where I just said, okay, Lord, whatever you want, I'll do it. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. I have to tell you, there's a great joy in going all the way, selling out. Amen. Giving it all to the Lord. When you surrender it all to the Lord, God begins to work and He begins to manifest His power and His glory in your life. And I have to tell you, I review the days, my Bible school years and the earlier days of my Christian experience, and I just stand back with such thankfulness to the Lord because I know God was being merciful to me and He was helping me to get on track and to stay in a pursuit of the things of God. I don't regret it. There were hard decisions to make. I had to rearrange a lot of things and change a lot of things and turn aside from a lot of friends and things that I thought were important, but God knew what He was doing. Amen. Amen. Live out your life for the glory of God. Live your life for the glory of God. To all of you young people, I know that all these things fill your mind about what you're going to do with your future. And there's just this natural tendency to try to make a plan. And that's not a bad thing, to be a person that's organized and has an interest in making a plan. But don't make a plan without seeking God. Don't make a plan without knowing you're in step with the plan of God and the purpose of God. That's for young people, but then for all the rest of us as well, whatever phase in life you might be, are you living your life for the glory of God? Are you? Are you living your life to please Him, to do His will? Let me tell you, there's no greater joy than knowing that you are doing God's will. Amen. Stay in that place and follow the plan of God and the purpose of God. Man has all kinds of plans and devices, but it's the counsel of the Lord that stands sure. It's the counsel of the Lord you can depend upon. Do it God's way. Commit yourself, your life, your future to Him and see what He can do. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If you follow after your plan that's void of God's purpose and will for your life, then things are not going to get better. They're going to get worse. You're going to find yourself without any real sense of direction. You're going to find yourself troubled and confused and not knowing where I'm going or what I'm doing. It's only when you know you're doing the will of God and you're doing it for the glory of God that you can have any sense of purpose or direction in your life. I talk to young people a lot. You talk to them about their future and they don't have any idea. They have no idea. It's not important that you know everything because you can't know everything about your future, but it is important that you give your future to God, that you surrender to the Lord. When you're young, give it to the Lord. Give your life to the Lord, your future to the Lord, and then make the things of God the priority of your life. Ain't nothing more than glorifying God. Hallelujah. This is what we want to do. Whenever we live our life to glorify Him, then we share in His glory. We share in His greatness, His mighty power, His revelation to us as we follow the glory of God and pursue His plan for our life. Then we are like the Apostle Paul. We can enter into this wonderful revelation of God's plan and purpose. If Saul, who became Paul, would have continued on the road that he was going on, just destruction. Destruction. But that turnaround on the Damascus Road gave him a whole new sense of purpose, and he was pursuing the glory of God. And he lived out his life. He could die saying, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Amen. I've lived out my life for the glory of God. Let's pray. Lord, I know many are the plans and devices that we have. Oh God, but help us, Lord, to turn aside from selfish pursuit, our own interest, our own plans. And God, do it your way. Give our futures to you, Lord. Our gifts, our talents, everything, Lord, we surrender to you. And I pray, Lord, the young and the older as well here tonight would take a few minutes to face themselves and think about this. Take a close look. What's your life wrapped up in? What's stealing all your money? What's stealing all your time? What's taking all your energies and robbing you from your focus upon Jesus and upon the plan and the purpose of God for your life? Stop. Stop right now and reevaluate. Get back to God. Get back into His plan, His purpose. Hallelujah. Man's plans will end in destruction. God's plan is a sure foundation. Hallelujah. Oh God. Lord, you can speak as you have to me, Lord, about these things. You can speak to every individual here tonight. And help us, Lord, to take a close look, to evaluate, to examine ourselves. Oh, God. To face ourselves. Lord, you do a work in us. You do a work in us, I pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.